Nobody likes change. And unfortunately, the only thing in life that never changes is, of course, everything always changes. Now, if you don't like change, and generally that's true, and if everything in life always changes, and that is true, then being prepared for change is wisdom. You have just heard an entire homily on the life and the mission of St. John the Baptist. Prepare the people for change. And he did. Change is coming, he said. Make way the path of the Lord. He said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. There is someone coming after me who is so much greater than I am not even worthy to fasten the sandal strap on his foot. Prepare the way of the Lord. Change is coming. And then one day, heaven reached down, touched the earth. Time stood still. And in one special, glorious moment of reverence, God became man. But then for a long time, nothing happened. Until about 30 years later, when the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, began to speak publicly, and change reverberated through the culture with seismic force. Jesus said to a clergy, a dominant clergy that for years had demanded from the people unquestioned respect, unquestioned authority, unquestioned obedience and subservience, to that clergy, Jesus said, you are like a brood of vipers. To a society that believed wives should be obedient, subservient chattel to their husbands, Jesus said, husbands, love your wives. That was unheard of to that society. To a society that believed the downtrodden and the poor, the marginalized, should be ignored, disrespected, ostracized, Jesus said, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Change began to reverberate through the culture. But he didn't just say things of criticism to the people of his day. He also offered words of encouragement to everybody in the culture of that day. He said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. That one phrase has caused theologians great consternation over the years. Because it sounds like Jesus was saying all prayers are answered, but it doesn't seem like prayer is answered. Modern theologians of today, many of them are coming to conclude the problem is not with the prayer, the problem is not with God, the problem is that most people don't truly understand prayer. Not only did Jesus say it, he repeated it. He said, in other words, those who ask will receive. Those who seek will find. Those who knock, it will be open for them. He didn't say ask and maybe you'll receive. He didn't say seek and perhaps you'll find. Knock and maybe it'll be open unto you. And theologians have begun to conclude the problem is most people don't understand prayer. Let me give you a hypothetical example just for clarification, and then we'll do something, get into something that's real. Suppose a young person prays to God for financial security. Some of you have heard me allude to this before. And let's say 2 days later or 2 weeks later or 2 years later, he or she still does not have financial security, so they conclude, my prayer was not answered. Then let's assume, as the days and the weeks and the months and the years go by, one time that person is somewhat inspired and they take a specialized training course in their career field, learn a little more about what they're doing. Let's suppose a little later they get inspired to take on some responsibility in their career field that they're not required to take on. Maybe they reach out and help somebody who works with them to do a better job, and their supervisors begin to take note of that. And they get a little promotion. They get a little pay raise. And the years go by, and the pay raises come more often, the promotions come higher, the responsibilities are greater, and 20 years later, financial security. The problem is this: when that person prayed for financial security, they concluded the prayer wasn't answered because it didn't happen immediately. And then 20 years later, when the prayer has been answered, they forgot all about the prayer, and they concluded that their security came from their own hard work, which of course is true, but the prayer was answered. Now, I did not just say, wait 20 years and your prayers will be answered. That was just a hypothetical clarification of most people do not understand prayer. Let me give you an example that is real, one that each and every one of you have personal experience in. 10 days from now, America will celebrate its 242nd birthday. America is the first nation in the world, maybe the only nation, but I'm not certain of that, but it's the first nation in the world to be founded on two principles: belief in God and trust in God. Let me read something to you to make sure I get it right. And when I start reading this, you'll recognize it immediately. You've heard it before. You might have studied it in university. It's very brief. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And of course, you recognize that as the opening and the closing of the American Declaration of Independence, which is the founding document of America. They are endowed by their Creator, belief in God. Firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, trust in God. So the question comes then, what kind of a country did America become based on those two principles, belief and trust in God? America, for its existence, has had a national prayer life. Now, by that, I'm not referring to individual prayers of the citizens, although that's part of it. When a public official is sworn into office in America, they take an oath of office. And the oath of office of each and every one of them ends with the same four words: so help me God. Every political and patriotic speech ever given in America ends with the same three words of prayer: God bless America. And you all know that during World War II, that was the most popular song in the country. And that tradition of national prayer has always continued. In 1956, the U.S. Congress passed a law declaring the official motto of America, "In God We Trust." A few years later, the U.S. Congress passed another law expanding the words of the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, expanding the words "One Nation" to read "One Nation Under God." So the question is this: did God bless America? Were all of those prayers ever answered? The theologians have concluded that in your personal life, and it's true in national life, you cannot see the presence of God in your life, and you cannot see the answer to prayer in your life if you only look at your life in the present moment. The young man didn't see the answer to prayer because it didn't happen right away, and then he finally didn't see the answer to prayer because he'd forgotten all about it. Had he stopped and looked back on his life, he would have seen the answer to prayer. If you look at America in the present moment, our society, it may seem like God has never blessed America. We have all kinds of problems. We get immigration problems. You don't need me to go through them. Children shooting children in school. Public protests where policemen are murdered. Police cars are burned. foreign affair problems, political problems, division in the country. But if you look at America from a different perspective, if you look at America from its entire history, America is the richest country in the world. America is the most powerful country in the world. And American citizens enjoy more individual personal liberty than any citizens in any nation in the world. And America is the safest nation to live in the world. America is rich, powerful, free, and safe. Now, if you're to develop a criteria on how to judge the success of a nation, that's not a bad criteria. And interestingly enough, if you look at America from world history, America is the most prosperous nation in the history of the world. Not Rome, not Greece, not Egypt, not any of the so-called great civilizations were as prosperous as America is. Nor were they as powerful, nor did their citizens have as much individual personal freedom, nor were their nations as safe to live in as in America. America has been blessed. Prayer works. Now, the good news is God has given to you that same spiritual gift of prayer to use in your own personal life. And in closing, I want to give you some even more good news. Now, this good news comes from me personally to each and every one of you personally. And that good news is this: right now, at this moment, I'm stopping. Thank you.